So your business encountered an obstacle. Don't just bounce back. Bounce forward with Comcast Business. Get serious internet powered by the nation's largest gig speed network. Be fast. Be flexible. Be ready for what's next. And bounce forward. Learn more at comcastbusiness.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, September 1st. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Spurred by major oil spills like Deepwater Horizon and Exxon Valdez, researchers have been working on new technologies to help contain and clean up spills. Things like oil-absorbing wood chips and even robots. Our reporter Eric Silvers will join us to explain after these headlines. Facebook says it's partnering with independent researchers to study how its platform affects elections. The company will log how a set of volunteers uses Facebook and Instagram in the run-up to the November election. Researchers will have access to aggregated behavioral data, plus independent survey research. The partnership is a big step for Facebook. The company's leadership has largely rejected concerns that its platforms could be harmful. Stock splits by Apple and Tesla took effect yesterday, lowering the price tag on individual shares of each company. The companies say the goal is to bring in more investors, and early results are in. Apple shares jumped 3.4% yesterday, and Tesla surged more than 12.5%. Both companies closed at records, extending the big gains they've already seen this year. Speaking of big gains, Zoom reported earnings yesterday, more than quadrupling its sales from the same period last year. The video conferencing platform has been a pandemic staple as people use it for work, school, and social gatherings alike. Up next, researchers are working on new ways to respond to oil spills. We'll talk about that after the break.
So your business encountered an obstacle. Don't just bounce back. Bounce forward with Comcast Business. Get serious internet powered by the nation's largest gig speed network. Be fast. Be flexible. Be ready for what's next. And bounce forward. Learn more at comcastbusiness.com.
In 2010, BP's Deepwater Horizon well in the Gulf of Mexico blew out. It gushed for 3 months before it could be plugged, spilling millions of barrels of crude oil into the Gulf and harming the ecosystem there. Fast forward to now, a decade later. We've seen oil spills in both Russia and Mauritius in recent months, but despite lots of research being done, we haven't seen much advancement in how companies respond to spills. Our reporter Eric Silvers joins us to explain why that is. Eric, thanks for stopping by.
Hi, you bet.
All right. Can you just remind us what kinds of spills we've been seeing and how big a problem this is?
Well, there's been a mix of different types of spills. For example, most recently in Mauritius, that was a cargo ship carrying oil that ran aground and oil spilled from there. The Russian spill, which was a couple months ago, that was actually a tank. The foundations broke and it spilled out. So there's different types of spill. Fortunately, we haven't seen anything on the scale or anywhere near the scale of the BP Deepwater Horizon. Last year in 2019, actually, we saw the lowest amount of oil coming out of tankers since 1970, which was the first year that this data was recorded.
And traditionally, what have cleanup methods looked like?
Well, cleanup, I mean, there obviously are, you know, well-consolidated methods that we saw on a very large scale when there was a BP explosion and in other spills as well. The most typical probably is booms, which I think we're all probably familiar with seeing, which are these sort of, they try to contain the spill. They try to contain the oil in a certain way, in a certain area. And then skimmers, which are these boats, go in and then they try to skim it off the water. But these have limitations. For example, the booms, I mean, obviously the sea is very big. So, you know, those work if you get there early enough and before the oil has dispersed a lot. And also they don't work so well on rough seas, because on rough seas the oil can splash over the side. And another thing that we saw a lot in the BP explosion is the burning of the oil, which, you know, seems kind of nice. You just burn it and it goes away. But obviously you're creating a lot of air pollution and you're hurting marine life. And likewise with chemicals that are thrown on the oil that disperse it and break it down, and it can either sink to sink to the bottom of the ocean, or anyway, it makes it easier for it to be eaten by bacteria. But again, you know, that can hurt marine life.
But lately we've seen a lot of innovative methods thrown around for cleaning up. So what else is being tested?
The first thing to note probably is that a lot of the innovation is coming from small companies or universities. They probably have the latitude to try sort of projects that seem a little bit far out there and that may need more time to be able to be implemented than probably a big oil company, right, which has to respond to shareholders and so on. So one of the most interesting things that we looked at is actually little wood chips. So wood chips that are made out of organic material, they've been treated, and they're dropped either from a plane or from a boat. They're dropped on the area where the oil spill has been, and they actually soak up the oil and they repel the water. And then these wood chips are collected. The oil can be separated from them and reused in some way. And on the off chance that you cannot get the wood chips, either it's, you know, they escape or whatever, they biodegrade eventually as well. Another interesting thing, which is at an earlier stage and a little bit more technological, I guess, would be is a small robot that's sent out and sort of does a similar thing. It collects the oil, repels the water, then comes back to its base and the oil gets taken out. And then there's a similar thing with a sponge and so on. So different materials are being tested, and it's not clear sort of yet which one is gonna catch on. The wood chips is at a very, very sort of advanced stage. It's been developed by researchers in Germany at two universities, and they have it ready for the Baltic Sea in northern Germany. And they're ready, but they haven't had any spills lately, so they haven't been able to test it on an actual spill, but they have tested it in real life conditions in the sea, and it seems to be working.
And, you know, those are all solutions for cleanup. But in the case of BP, that example, that gushed for 3 months, like we mentioned. So is there any work being done to make sure that doesn't happen again?
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because that seemed never ending, right? We saw the pictures just for on and on for days and days, and then for 3 months, like you said. Actually, what happened after that is that 8 of the largest oil companies in the world, they got together and they put out a tender to try and find a company that could come up with a system that could cap the oil faster. Because basically what happened was that blew out, the oil was gushing and they couldn't put a cap on it. You know, just like if you imagine, I guess, a bottle of wine and it's flowing out and you're trying to put your hand on it. They couldn't get there for various reasons. What they did is they commissioned this company called Saipem, which is an Italian oil services company, and they came up with this huge structure which can be lowered on top of the and can cap the well in a much more efficient way, and it can be done in a way that the boats don't have to be right over the gushing well, which can be a problem for various reasons, including escaping gas that can change the pressure and so on. So basically the big innovation here, and again, it has never been tested in the real world, because fortunately we haven't had another blowout like that. But the innovation is that this should be able to be put on a blown out well much more easily, much more quickly. And it's here on a dock in Italy where I am. And it can be broken down, and it can either be put on a boat or even on cargo jets and taken somewhere in the world where it can then be deployed.
So generally, it sounds like actually implementing these solutions is still challenging. What kinds of headwinds do they face?
Well, I mean, probably the biggest headwind is that when you have a big spill, big oil companies and their suppliers are rushing to find ways to limit the damage, you know, both because they obviously care about the environment, but also because, you know, it's costly. The BP spill costs billions and billions of dollars for the company. So, you know, you're less likely to be able to try new things that haven't been tried out. Or, for example, the wood chips, the system of the wood chips, one of these new technologies, shows a lot of promise. But I mean, if you have a huge area, the wood chips fit in the, if one wood chip fits in the palm of your hand. So you're going to need really a lot of those if it's a massive spill. So a lot of these new technologies seem likely to work in smaller spills. And sometimes for the oil companies, if the spill is smaller, there's less urgency and they don't maybe feel the same pressure to do the containment.
Eric, you mentioned that the number of spills we've been seeing lately is declining drastically. So is this really still a big problem?
Well, that's a good question, because the amount of oil that's spilled as a percent of the oil that gets transported is really, really, really small. But obviously, last year, something like 1,000 tons still got spilled out into the sea. So, I mean, that's still a lot. And if you think about Mauritius, I mean, that's obviously a delicate ecosystem. And so even if that spill is, in the big scheme of things, is not enormous, it's obviously going to do a lot of damage. It's going to hurt a particular ecosystem and so on. So yeah, the numbers are much lower. The percent, if you think about how much oil is going back and forth on the seas, is relatively small, you know, but if you're in Mauritius right now, you're, you know, that's probably not too comforting as an explanation of why things have gotten better.
Wall Street Journal reporter Eric Silvers, thanks so much for coming on the show.
You bet. Thanks a lot.
And that was your tech news briefing. You can find more tech news on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.